How many of you remember the last time you seriously thought about the words you use each and every day? How carefully do you select them? Hi, I am Relvi. When I speak about the importance of using positive language to move you toward your goals, some of you may be wondering. They may have questions like, do I say these positive words to myself or do I also say these words to other people? You may be afraid that if you tell others about your goals, they will think you are being conceited and they may even laugh at you. Allow me to suggest a few guidelines in this area with understanding that there are no hard and fast rules and you should do what works best for you. To begin with, use positive self-talk as often as possible. In my view, the more the merrier. After all, you are talking to yourself, so you don't have to worry about others hearing your comments. The key is that you hear this positive input again and again, and it becomes deeply rooted in your subconscious mind. Whether to share your goals with other people is a much trickier issue. One thing I have learned is this. Never discuss your goals with negative people. All they will do is argue and point out all the reasons why you won't be successful. Who needs that? Often these negative Nellies are the ones who do little or nothing in their own lives. They have no goals or dreams, and they don't want anyone else to succeed either. Yet there are some instances when you can benefit by telling others about your goals. First of all, make sure that you are speaking with someone who is extremely positive and totally supportive of your efforts. This should be the kind of person who would be absolutely delighted if you achieved this goal and would do anything in his or her power to assist you. You may have a friend or a colleague that fits this role, or certain family members. It's also important to share your goals with others who are working with you to achieve that outcome. For example, if a sales manager wants to increase sales in the coming year by 20%, he or she would make this goal known to everyone on the staff. Then everyone can work together to achieve it. Thank you. How many of you remember the last time you seriously thought about the words you use each and every day? How carefully do you select them? Hi, I am Relvi. When I speak about the importance of using positive language to move you toward your goals, some of you may be wondering. They may have questions like, do I say these positive words to myself or do I also say these words to other people? You may be afraid that if you tell others about your goals, they will think you are being conceited and they may even laugh at you. Allow me to suggest a few guidelines in this area with understanding that there are no hard and fast rules and you should do what works best for you. To begin with, use positive self-talk as often as possible. In my view, the more the merrier. After all, you are talking to yourself, so you don't have to worry about others hearing your comments. The key is that you hear this positive input again and again, and it becomes deeply rooted in your subconscious mind. Whether to share your goals with other people is a much trickier issue. One thing I have learned is this. Never discuss your goals with negative people. All they will do is argue and point out all the reasons why you won't be successful. Who needs that? Often these negative Nellies are the ones who do little or nothing in their own lives. They have no goals or dreams, and they don't want anyone else to succeed either. Yet there are some instances when you can benefit by telling others about your goals. First of all, make sure that you are speaking with someone who is extremely positive and totally supportive of your efforts. This should be the kind of person who would be absolutely delighted if you achieved this goal and would do anything in his or her power to assist you. You may have a friend or a colleague that fits this role, or certain family members. It's also important to share your goals with others who are working with you to achieve that outcome. For example, if a sales manager wants to increase sales in the coming year by 20%, he or she would make this goal known to everyone on the staff. Then everyone can work together to achieve it. Thank you. How many of you remember the last time you seriously thought about the words you use each and every day? How carefully do you select them? Hi, I am Relvi. When I speak about the importance of using positive language to move you toward your goals, some of you may be wondering. They may have questions like, do I say these positive words to myself or do I also say these words to other people? You may be afraid that if you tell others about your goals, they will think you are being conceited and they may even laugh at you. Allow me to suggest a few guidelines in this area, with understanding that there are no hard and fast rules and you should do what works best for you. To begin with, use positive self-talk as often as possible. In my view, the more the merrier. After all, you are talking to yourself, so you don't have to worry about others hearing your comments. The key is that you hear this positive input again and again, and it becomes deeply rooted in your subconscious mind. Whether to share your goals with other people is a much trickier issue. One thing I have learned is this: never discuss your goals with negative people. All they will do is argue and point out all the reasons why you won't be successful. Who needs that? Often these negative Nellies are the ones who do little or nothing in their own lives. They have no goals or dreams, and they don't want anyone else to succeed either. Yet there are some instances when you can benefit by telling others about your goals. First of all, make sure that you are speaking with someone who is extremely positive and totally supportive of your efforts. This should be the kind of person who would be absolutely delighted if you achieved this goal and would do anything in his or her power to assist you. You may have a friend or a colleague that fits this role, or certain family members. It's also important to share your goals with others who are working with you to achieve that outcome. For example, if a sales manager wants to increase sales in the coming year by 20%, he or she would make this goal known to everyone on the staff. Then everyone can work together to achieve it. Thank you. Hi, my dear friends. Today we have a guest who is an assistant professor of Government College, Tripunitra. He's a psychologist and a counselor too. He has got three jobs, and that too in the government sector.
And I have immense pleasure to welcome Sony sir to this wonderful floor. Sir, thank you very much for spending some time with us. I have a few questions to ask. Can I?
Please. Good morning. Please proceed.
Okay, sir. My first question is, now you're working as an assistant professor at Government College Tripunithra. How did you land in this present job?
That's a good question. Let me reflect on that.
Okay.
I was, as a student, as a school student, my father always motivated me to pursue PG studies, MA English, PG in English.
Okay.
So at that time, I thought after completing MA course, you could directly go to any college and join as a professor. That was my thinking while I was in my school days.
Okay.
But later on, when I joined this PG course, I understood that it is not that easy. You have to study well. You have to score at least 55% marks in the final exam.
Okay.
Then you have to clear a national eligibility test conducted by University Grants Commission.
Mm-hmm.
After that, you will have to apply to either private colleges or you will have to take another government examination, another exam conducted by PSC, Public Service Commission of respective states.
Okay.
Kerala PSC called for this examination to appoint assistant professors in different government colleges across the state.
Mm-hmm.
For this. So I cleared that exam too. So in effect, you'll have to clear 3 PG level exams. One at the university level, then national eligibility test or NET at the national level. Then you have to clear a PSC examination at the state level. You will be placed in a rank list. There will be an interview. Final rank list will come. And as per reservation norms prevailing in the state, you are appointed when your turn comes. So I took this examination in 2009. Then
okay.
I was appointed as assistant professor in 2011. That's how I landed in this job.
Sir, but I think this is your third job, right?
Yes.
So can you tell me the other jobs you had?
Yeah, I began my official career. I began my career as an assistant in High Court of Kerala. After completing my PG studies,
mm-hmm.
I was looking around for a decent job.
Mm-hmm.
Kerala PSC called for this assistant professor's exam only after a while. So I had to wait a bit. So I, in the meantime, I looked around and I saw that High Court of Kerala, they're conducting an exam to recruit assistant grade.
Okay.
To assistant grade to that's equal to UD clerk scale. UD clerk in the state scale. So I applied for this exam. I still remember it was in 2000, I think it was in 2000 that I applied.
Mm-hmm.
So it was an examination for 100 marks and 30 marks were exclusively earmarked for English grammar.
Okay.
Then we had to write 3 essays of 15 marks.
Mm-hmm.
5 short essays of 25 marks. So because I had good command over this English language, I was able to perform well.
Mm-hmm.
I came 4th rank in the total rank list. Out of
amazing, 60, amazing.
Out of 260 people who were selected, I was mm-hmm. in the 4th rank. In fact, I was the only candidate without LLB in the first 5 ranks.
Mm-hmm.
All 4 other candidates, they passed LLB too. So I joined High Court in 2002. Then while working there, Kerala PSC called for higher secondary teachers examination. So for the first time that Kerala government decided to appoint teachers to higher secondary, government higher secondary schools.
Okay.
Because I had completed B.Ed. after my PG.
Mm-hmm.
So I was able to apply for this higher secondary school teacher's job.
That's your second job.
Yeah, that's my second job. I wrote it. The exam was conducted in 2002 and appointment came in 2005. So I worked in government boys higher secondary school Tripunthara for nearly 7 years.
Okay.
Then I wrote another PSC exam. That is for this collegiate education department, and I moved to collegiate education department.
That was okay. Interesting, really interesting. I have another question for you, sir. I understood that you have studied psychology and counseling, and you are a very good psychologist as well. So my question is, what is your passion, teaching or counseling?
My first passion is always teaching, but as I deal with adolescent students,
okay,
I was always interested in psychology, and I understood that if you learn psychology, especially adolescent psychology, it will be easy to handle such students.
Mm-hmm.
So I looked around. I was dabbling in psychology right from my school days. This is a subject which interested me right from my childhood. And because I thought I need a professional degree in that, I looked around and I applied for MSc Psychology conducted by Madras University.
Okay.
So I pursued that course. Mm-hmm. And there was a particular area. We had to choose an area for specialization. Mm-hmm. So I opted for counseling. And this degree and this counseling experience has helped me immensely to deal with adolescent children, especially in plus one and plus two classes.
Great.
Mm-hmm. That's how I deal with psychology. My first passion is always teaching, but psychology is my second passion. And this psychology has helped me immensely in solving problems in my teaching.
Okay. Very good. Sir, who is your personality or motivating factor?
About being a teacher?
Being a teacher as well as a counselor.
Okay. Both my parents were teachers. So I had an inkling towards teaching right from my younger days.
Okay.
It was in 8th and 9th standard. While I was studying in 8th and 9th standards, I had two eminent teachers. One was Mr. Radhakrishnan,
mm-hmm.
who taught me history and economics. Another one was Mr. Walson, who taught me English.
Okay.
And the way they dealt with the lessons, the way they explained the intricate rules of grammar and usages, I always felt a fascination. So I wanted to emulate them. I wanted to be like them. So later on, when I went to my college days, I had my graduation in Government Brandon College and my PG in St. Joseph's College, Devagiri. And I was very fortunate to come across very eminent teachers there too. So all these teachers, right from 8th standard to my PG days, eminent teachers, they inspired me. So I consider them as my role models. As far as psychology is concerned, when I joined for MSc Psychology, there were a few teachers who came to give us guidance. And one of them was a priest.
Mm-hmm.
He's a practicing counselor. He used to narrate a lot of his clinical experiences with clarity, with precision, the way he dealt with the different difficult children.
Mm-hmm.
All these helped me to grow as a person. So I have learned a lot from all these personalities.
Okay. Thank you, sir. So, I know that you are in the middle of your PhD work, and these are your valuable, precious time. I have one more last question. That is, what is your message to the students, especially the younger ones? I mean, the new generations.
I would always say there are two factors, two elements that guide me. One is love, and the other is passion. Love for children and passion for teaching. These are the two mottos that I hold dear to my heart. You should love your students, and you should have a passion for teaching. And if you can combine these two in the right way, you can excel as a teacher. That's what I feel. And young children, my message to young children is that these are trying times. We are all facing a pandemic. This is for the first time. So things will be difficult. Situations will be difficult, but you should never lose hope. You should always learn. You should always apply your mind. You should always learn well. A bright future definitely will come to you. That's what I want to say to young people.
Okay, that's a powerful message. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for spending time for us and answer all the questions, very satisfactory questions. And thank you so much, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, sir.